us that those who seek God should rejoice and be glad. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that God wants and wills us to be happy, to be joyful. And when I watch the news and see how many other people are struggling with violence and natural disasters and corrupt governments, I'm so grateful to live in Southern Alberta. Canada, land of abundance, freedoms, beauty, stable governments. Well, are we a perfect country? No, of course not. But when Canadians but Canadians can challenge and question our governments, both local and federal, we're not thrown into prison when that happens. We're not tortured or given up for dead. We have due process of law. Truly, we are blessed to live in this country, the land of the maple leaf. We have so much of what others only dream about, and thus we have so many immigrants coming to our shores. And yet, so many people report that they are unhappy with their life. Now, what could be the explanation for their unhappiness? Well, research tells us about 30% of all people are chronic complainers. No matter what the occasion, a celebration or good news does not seem to matter, for these people will always find a negative comment to make or position to take. But what of others? Why are so many people unhappy? Abraham Lincoln said, "People are about as happy as they make up their mind to be." And centuries earlier, Roman Emperor Marcus Antonius said, "No man is happy who does not think himself so." So perhaps it's not the situation, but our mind that can make you happy or miserable. Many of you have heard of Dr. Viktor Frankl, who was the Austrian Jewish physician. He survived many Nazi concentration camps in World War II. But after being liberated in 1946, he wrote many books on how he survived with a positive attitude and holding on to hope. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he wrote, "When we are no longer able to change our situation, we are challenged to change ourselves." Despite what our attitude is towards happiness, there's one big flaw us humans have. And that puts up giant barriers to our happiness, and that is jealousy. Now, each and every one of us has had jealous thoughts at some time in our life or another. So in some ways, perhaps, it's human nature to want what other people have. The idea of keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. And perhaps, if what others have motivates us to be better versions of ourselves, then maybe jealousy might help us have goals and challenges to overcome. But the problem with jealousy is that it masks other feelings and attitudes that can be hurtful to us and our loved ones. Jealousy behaviors and thoughts are often shielding deep-seated feelings of possessiveness, insecurity, and shame. Now, what I believe lies at the heart of jealousy very often isn't the threat itself, but an inner conflict to berate ourselves with critical self-thoughts of not being or doing or having something or being better than who we are. These negative thoughts towards ourselves, and we listen to that critical inner voice which says, "I'm not as attractive as other people, I drive a lower quality car, I shop at the dollar store, I can't sing like my friend, I'm not a good cook, I have troubled children and grandchildren, etc., etc., etc." Now, when we listen to self-destructive coaching that fuels our insecurity and distrust, we are the recipients of our own negative thoughts, and we are unhappy with ourselves and our lives. Jealousy and envy can promote greed and anger and hatred towards others. And when we always want what other people have, we can become unhappy. Now, today's parable about the prodigal son, well, it actually could be called the parable of the forgiving father. But have you ever noticed that this parable is incomplete? The story ends before we find out what actually happens with the other brother. Nearing the end of the parable, we have the father pleading with the older son to come to the celebration which he's arranged for his returned son. But we're never told, are we, if the elder son responds to his father's pleading. The father says, "We must celebrate and rejoice." Yet the parable ends before we find out whether the older son does celebrate and rejoice. Does he go to his brother's party? We don't know. Well, it's choice, isn't it? The choice of this brother that becomes the key to unlocking the meaning of this parable. Choice. Choice is a powerful word, isn't it? And there's consequences of choice. Good choices, I don't want to say bad choices, negative choices, let's say. Choices of all kinds. We all have choices. To be kind, a choice to forgive, to celebrate the success of another person, to celebrate their gifts. So often we see this parable to be about forgiveness, repenting, and sin, which of course it is, but it's also about jealousy. So when a hockey player scores a goal, does the other player say, "Well, I could have scored that too if somebody had passed me the puck"? Or when someone at work gets a promotion or pulls off an important project, are we able to rejoice and celebrate with that person? Or do we say, "I could have done that too if I had catered to my boss"? When we see a good parent, a clever business person, a leader, are we willing to rejoice and celebrate those gifts? Or do we feel compelled to tell ourselves and others of this person's flaws, their mistakes, their limitations? Well, this is exactly, of course, what the older brother does. He tries to tell his father all the reasons that this younger brother should not be welcomed home. Now, Paul says in Romans, "Be joyful for other people's joy. Rejoice with those who rejoice." Now, you'll notice in your bulletin this morning, I have that at the very beginning of the service bulletin. It's a little meditation. And I invite you this week to chew on that, as I've been chewing on it for quite some time as well. Ponder, talk to your partner, talk to your friends. Think about what that is all about, what Paul has said, to be joyful for other people's joy. One of the new words in our lexicon is the word compersion, compersion. And it means to be happy for another person's happiness. We've all heard that, you know. "Oh, must be nice, you're going to Hawaii." Well, jealousy will stop when we realize that other people will always have something that you don't. And when we pray, are we asking God for things that others have, things that you want? God is not Santa Claus that magically drops a new iPhone down the chimney just because you asked for one. God encourages us to live with thankfulness for what we already have. Makes me think of the word success and successful. It's interesting, isn't it? And that's another powerful word, success. What does that mean to be successful? Does it mean you have a big house and a big car and lots of holidays? Does it mean you spend time with family? Does it mean you volunteer? It's a wonderful word I think we should unpack sometime. And what's just come to mind is it's something I should write a sermon or meditation on sometime, is what does success mean? So stay tuned. I guess that'll be in the future sometime. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to this. Today's parable is a parable in which the older son is jealous. He is jealous of the love that his father gives his brother. Clearly, the parable is inviting us to avoid such jealousy and be grown up enough to understand that love can be shared. The story shares that the older son is unable to accept the love that his father has for him. Even though the father says, all I have is yours, I love you. But the elder son does not accept the gifts that flow from that love and ends up being jealous of his brother. The family unit is now broken because of jealousy. And I'm sure many of you, as I, in my nursing career and in my chaplaincy work, continue to see how jealousy breaks families apart. It's a true poison. Well, love is not like the water in a bowl that once poured out is empty, gone. There's always an endless supply of love to be shared as God shares love with all of us. No one gets less than the other. We are all loved. Period. Period. What does God require of us? To accept God's love and to strive to be the best version of ourselves by being thankful and grateful for all of our blessings in life, for who we are, our families and friends, and how we help each other. God wants us to be grown-ups, fully adult, fully human in our life of faith, our relationships, and to practice compassion, being joyful for other people's joy. The story of the prodigal son invites us to claim the love that God has for us and the gifts that God has given. If you are not content with who you are, if you are not happy, make it so. It's a quote of Jean-Luc Picard, right, from Star Trek. Make it so. Parcels don't arrive from Amazon filled with happiness. You must seek and find. And this life we're living right now is not a dress rehearsal. There's no do-overs. Any of you that have read my new book, Healthy Theology and Your Journey Through the Last Half of Life, know I write about that a lot. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it, folks. And if we can be thankful for our gifts and whatever those gifts are, even though our gifts might seem less than others, we need to believe that our gifts are important and have value. None of us gets leftover love from God. It's a full meal deal. And with God, there's always enough love to go around. So therefore, accept God's love, share God's love with all those you meet. Practice being joyful for other people's joy. Practice compassion. And you will find that your life will flourish with abundance of joy and happiness too. And the people said, Amen.